would, bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Dear God, we thank you for letting us come to church. We pray that, Lord, it'll not just be business as usual. You know, we're here, we just kind of moseyed on out again because we're supposed to be here. But, Lord, I pray that we'll hear from you tonight. Lord, that we may be drawn a little closer to you, or a whole lot closer to you, that you'll speak to hearts, perhaps those listening in by Facebook, Lord, you'll speak to their hearts and draw us all closer to you. If there's anyone listening that, or maybe here that's lost, I pray that tonight may be the night that they change their eternal destiny by trusting Jesus as their Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that if you want me to say it, that I will. If not, that I won't. And Lord, we pray that your name will be honored and glorified in everything. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just for the record, it has nothing to do with the sermon, but I have on my favorite Christmas tie of all time. I've had it for, I don't know, this might have been my first Christmas tie. I mean, I've had this tie forever and ever, so you can look at it when you leave, okay? But my favorite Christmas tie of all time. Amy said, why is it your favorite Christmas tie? I said, I don't know, it's pretty, it's colorful, and it's festive. So it's not over the top like some Christmas ties are, but it's just kind of my favorite, so. You know, when a business is doing good, I've heard it said it's because of location, location, location. And then sometimes when a business is not doing good, they'll say it's because of a bad location, 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 right? The point is location is very important. Location is very important in a lot of things. Tonight we're going to talk about the location of Jesus' birth. Did it really matter where Jesus was born? Can I tell you tonight that it did matter? This morning we looked at time at exactly the right time. Tonight we look at location at exactly the right place. And that ought to encourage us to know that we serve a God who is a sovereign God. It wasn't like, huh, wow, that's the way it worked out. God says, no, 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 no. I'm coordinating it. I'm orchestrating it. It's like all the pieces of a puzzle. He's just putting it together one piece at a time. The piece this morning we looked at was at the right time is when Jesus came. Tonight, the second piece of the puzzle will be he came to the right location or the right place. And we'll be looking at several scriptures tonight. We begin with point number one. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. Duh, you say, wow, preacher, you never cease to amaze me sometimes. But he was born in the town of Bethlehem, but that was a Jewish town in Israel, okay? A Jewish town in Israel. Now notice Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. In the Old Testament prophecy, listen to what was prophesied about where Jesus would be born. Here we're looking at prophecy. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been told, can't even read my own writing, let's try again, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You see, here is an Old Testament prophecy centuries before Jesus came. And it says, guess what? It's going to be Bethlehem. Can I tell you that the Bible has prophecies, and every one of them either have already been fulfilled or will be fulfilled. And for the birth of Jesus, every prophecy that was made has been fulfilled. And one of them dealt with location. Jesus was born at exactly the right place. You say, what's the big deal, preacher? What if Jesus had been born in Jerusalem? That'd be a Jewish town in Israel, but you would have negated the prophecy here of Micah. And if you negate one prophecy, you might as well negate all the prophecies. And if you negate all the prophecies, you might as well negate all of the Bible. So it is important that Jesus came to the right place, right? According to God's sovereignty and that piece of puzzle that he made. So, the town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Second reason that not only according to prophecy, but according to kingship. to kingship. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Luke chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says in the Christmas story. It says, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the," notice this, "unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." You say, well, what's the big whoopee-doo about that? He was of the lineage and the house of David. Well, guess what? Jesus is our forever king, right? It's been told and prophesied that Jesus would sit upon the throne of David. Now, there are several places in the Old Testament, I'll just mention a few, where the Davidic covenant is mentioned. 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and 2 Chronicles chapter 6, where the Davidic covenant is laid out. And you know, part of the Davidic covenant is that your throne is going to be established forever. And you say, how can a human throne be established forever? Well, the news is, a human throne cannot be established forever. It had to be a heavenly throne. And Jesus is appointed to that throne to sit upon the throne of David. Now, when specifically is that going to happen? Well, that's going to happen in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. When Christ comes back to the earth, you know, the next thing that's going to happen is what? The rapture of the church, where God takes his children home. It could happen before we get done with the service tonight. You say, especially with you preaching, Lord, it could happen before you finish, because you sometimes go on a little bit. But it could happen tonight, the rapture of the church. We go up to be with the Lord, and I believe at that point is the judgment seat of Christ, where we give account of our service to the Lord. And then we enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. Anytime you mention the word supper, I'm happy. Marriage supper of the Lamb. While that's going on in heaven, guess what? The tribulation, 3.5 years, and then the great tribulation, the second 3.5 years, a total of 7 years. At the end of that is the battle of Armageddon. And guess what? The Lord Jesus comes down. He's on a white horse. We're following him. We don't do any fighting. It just says basically the word of his mouth destroys all the enemies and puts down all the enemies of God. And from that point on is established the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And Jesus will sit up on the throne of David. And he is the reason that David's throne was prophesied that it would last forever, is because in a sense, even all throughout eternity, when we're in heaven with the Lord, Jesus is still on the throne of David. And you see, he was born in the city of David. If you're going to establish a kingly line, doesn't it make sense that in addition to fulfilling prophecy, that we're going to show that he's king? He was born in the very city of David. David was born and raised, some might say born and reared, in Bethlehem. It's interesting, what? That he was a shepherd. Who was the news first told to? The shepherds. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, notice what the angel Gabriel said to Mary. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now when it says father, it's talking about genealogically, okay? And Jesus is going to occupy that throne in Jerusalem. But he was born in the city of David. City of David is mentioned, I thought this was interesting, 46 times in the Bible you'll find that expression or that phrase, city of David. City of David. So David was born there, he was raised there, and guess what? He also died there. Or was buried there, put it that way. He was buried there. And Christ will fulfill that kingship and that role. So Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, a Jewish town in Israel. First of all, because of prophecy. Second, it established his kingship on the throne of David. And thirdly, because of meaning. You probably heard this before, but do you know what Bethlehem means? Bethlehem means house of bread. You know, it's interesting if you look at estimates of how big Bethlehem was when Jesus was born. I saw one estimate as low as 300 people might have lived in Bethlehem. And then the highest one that I saw in a quick perusal of Google was 2,000. So it was not. I mean, don't think of a huge metropolitan. Now, there was a lot of people there because they were there to be taxed, right? But as far as the actual town, the actual settlement of Bethlehem, it was not that big. Most experts would say that it was not that big. But it means house of bread. Do you know Jesus called himself in John chapter 6, verse 35? Notice this verse, John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice in that same chapter, verse 51, John chapter 6 and verse 51. Notice what it says. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life. It's only through me that you can have eternal life. Now, isn't it interesting that the bread of life was born in a town called Bethlehem, which means house of bread. So Jesus, the bread of life, was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Thought that was interesting. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, a Jewish town in Israel, in fulfillment of prophecy, to establish his kingship upon the throne of David. And also, it wasn't by accident that Bethlehem means what it does. House of bread, where the bread of life was born. Even for meaning, if you will, he was born in Bethlehem. So therefore, Jesus was born at exactly the right place. Jesus was born exactly at the right place. I don't know, have you ever been around people that, Amy and I have talked about this before, we've had relatives before, and they're very successful in life. But you kind of wonder, sometimes you're around them, it's like, how in the world did you get to where you are? Because they just seem to kind of fly by the seat of their pants, so to speak. And Amy and I, neither one of us are that way. We're more organized and try to be at least. Try to be organized and try to, you know, plan out and everything. That's kind of the way we're wired. But sometimes you're around people and you think, wow. And it kind of drives people that are organized. You know, sometimes we've gone to things before. Sometimes youth pastors are notorious for not being very detail-oriented. I don't know if you know that or not. I've been around enough youth pastors, but it's kind of, they're not everyone, but sometimes, and a youth pastor I had when I was pastor down in Williamstown, so it seemed like a few times it's kind of like, well, what are we going to do on this activity? Well, you know, where are we going to, you know, just kind of details. It's like, okay, details, details, details. And it drives us kind of people crazy. It's kind of like, well, give me the details. Give me the details. Well, we don't exactly have all that worked out yet. I'm thankful that our God is a detail-oriented God. Aren't you? I mean, this sovereign God with the pieces of the puzzle, not only the exact right time was Jesus born, at the exact right place Jesus was born. Point number one, Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, a Jewish town in Israel. Number two, and you may find this very amazing. Are you ready? I only got 2 points tonight. Isn't that something? But my preacher's been known to have 15 different points that he preaches in four parts of a sermon. Number two, Jesus was born in a stable. Jesus was born in a stable. Under that main point there, point number two, Jesus was born in a stable. Jesus being born in a stable was a sign. Was a sign. Now you'll remember this. You said, what exactly are you talking about? It was a sign. Notice in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, this is Mary, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Swaddling clothes or cloth, some would say. From what I understand, they were just strips of cloth. And at that time, that when a newborn was born, they wrapped a baby up in those cloths. And that's exactly what happened here. It was standard practice. But this part wasn't standard practice. They laid him in a manger. And you say, what kind of manger was it? I think you'll find most people will probably say that it was more of a stone, probably a stone manger than a wood manger. Now, I have no problem with using a wood manger in our churches because who wants to lug around a stone one, right? But sometimes these mangers, which were really nothing more than feeding troughs for animals, sometimes they were made of natural outcroppings, from what I understand, in rocks. There would be a natural dip in that, they would use that. So we see here that Jesus was born, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was laid in a manger. You find in verse 12 of this same chapter, when the angel spoke to the shepherds, notice what the angel says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, I wouldn't imagine that there'd be a whole lot of newborn babies lying in a manger. So it was a sign. You see, Jesus was born in a stable and placed in a manger. So Jesus being born in a stable was a sign. Under this, Jesus being born in a stable. Secondly, Jesus being born in a stable set the path to salvation. Set the path to salvation. Now, you know the story when the angels appeared to the shepherds. I mean, that would have been scary. I mean, really, it would. I mean, it's not like, oh, isn't that cute? You know, I mean, really, if you were one of the shepherds, you'd be going, whoa, what in the world? I'm out here looking after my sheep, and what in the world's going on? You know, first one angel, then a multitude of the heavenly hosts. But notice what their response to that was. After it says, you're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Notice in verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Now, I think once they got their breath, and gathered their senses together a little bit, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You see, Jesus being born in a stable set the path to salvation. I have a question for you. Would the shepherds have gone to find Jesus if the angel said, Jesus has been born in a palace? Yeah, you got to kind of keep in mind who the shepherds were, right? They were looked down upon. I mean, it seemed like I read at one point that they couldn't even testify in a court proceeding because nobody trusted them. I mean, they were looked down upon, and they were like the scum, basically. Or that might be a little strong, but they were the lower end of the social ladder, let's say, and they were looked down upon. I believe that just kind of think with me a moment. If they'd have been told, you know, Jesus was born in a palace, they'd probably think, you know what, I don't want to do it. I know God's in control of all this, and he orchestrated exactly where it was. But I'm saying, if they heard that word palace or in this fancy house or among these, you know, Jesus is born to these fancy folks and these rich people, I think they'd probably said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go do that or not. We probably won't be let in. But, I mean, you're talking stable. You're talking mate. You're talking my business. You're talking my world, right? Now, I really think there's a significance in the location of Jesus being born, because it sets the path to salvation. Who is limited from being saved? Nobody, right? Now, honestly, if he'd come as a prince in the king's house or in a palace or something like that, I think people would be saying, I wonder if I can be saved. But this is kind of sets the pattern. You know, kind of the idea behind it is, I believe, that it wasn't by accident that he was born in a stable and placed in a manger, that he had a very humble beginning. You know, I don't know about you, but the word is not quite like I'm going to use it, but I'm very proud that I had humble beginnings. And I'm still humble beginning. I got humble middle and humble ending, I'm sure. But did you know what I'm saying? It's not like, it really annoys me when people kind of look down their nose at other people. Amen. You know, and kind of like, oh, well, they're just not quite. I mean, because I'm just a Southern West Virginia hillbilly. And don't try to convince me otherwise. That's all I am and all I ever will be. And I'm perfectly fine with that. When people put on airs and pretend to be something they're not, you know, and they're better than somebody else, believe me, every man is created in the image of God. So no man is better than any other man or woman, or as you know what I mean. But I believe there was significance in the fact that Jesus was born in a stable. I think he just kind of set the pattern, if you will, set the path that salvation is open to everyone. I shared that verse with you. It's a simple verse in Scripture, but it would have to be probably among my top few favorites, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Whosoever. I think Jesus set the path, if you will, to salvation for everyone, by beginning in a humble stable and a humble manger. You see, Jesus was born in a stable. First of all, Jesus being born in a stable was a sign. Secondly, Jesus being born in a stable set the path to salvation. Thirdly, Jesus being born in a stable set the path to servanthood. 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 Mark chapter 10, we're going to read a few verses here, three or four verses. Now, let me set the context to this just a little bit. You see, I believe that Jesus being born in a stable and being placed in a manger set the pattern or the path for you and I of servanthood. Now, Jesus in this passage in Mark, James and John, sons of thunder, remember their request to Jesus? You know, when you get to your kingdom, can one of us sit on the right hand and one of us sit on the left hand? Now, in these verses, the other apostles got a little upset with them. You know, like, oh, you know, you can kind of understand that because, truth be told, part of the reason they probably got upset was because they asked first. And, you know, they wanted to seem holy and spiritual too. Like, oh, but, you know, they had the attitudes, and I'm sure, and the pride, just like all humans do, right? I mean, kind of see that? But notice, it says in this verse, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, this is his apostles, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Now notice this verse. For even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, I believe that Jesus being born in a stable definitely wasn't by accident. I think for Jesus being born in a stable then placed in a manger was definitely not by accident. Now, I'll be honest, I don't have a verse that says this is exactly the reason, but I can reason through this and these surmise, and you say, well, I don't agree with that. That's okay. That's all right with me. But I believe that Jesus being born in a stable and placed in a manger set the path or the pattern of servitude from the very beginning. I mean, he wasn't like, you know, holier than thou, rich and famous and all of that. And people say, I don't know if I can approach him in salvation. And the same thing. I'm not sure. So I'm supposed to exercise lordship, but no. Jesus set the example from the very beginning of a humble person, if you will, in the flesh, God in the flesh, coming among us and setting a humble example. If y'all agree with that, just give me just a little nod. Not a whole lot, just a little. Okay. Location, at exactly the right place. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. Remember, it was it showed his in fulfillment of prophecy. It sets up the kingship and the throne idea that Jesus is going to occupy the throne of David. He's born in the house of bread, and he calls himself the bread of life. Guess what? Jesus was born exactly in the right place, orchestrated by a sovereign God. Secondly, tonight we looked at Jesus was born in a stable. Humble beginnings pointing to salvation. It was first a sign and then salvation, and it even gives us the pattern of servanthood or servitude before other people. Location, location, location. Does it really matter? Is it really important? In the birth of Jesus, believe me, it was very, very important. So you say, preacher, what should be our response to this? Well, probably shock, because I'm almost finished. But I really think our response before God ought to be, Lord, I just want to praise you. Because you're a God that manages all the details. You're a God who is sovereign, who can coordinate everything. The very time that Jesus was born, the very place that Jesus was born. Don't you think a God like that is big enough to be trusted to handle your life? He's a big enough God to handle it, don't you think? So I would encourage you just to praise God. You know, at Christmas time, just praise God. You know, Jesus didn't kind of come just by chance. No, Jesus came under the plan of God the Father. And what was Jesus so concerned about during his earthly ministry? The will of the Father. The plan of the Father. If Jesus was so concerned about it, the second challenge. Number one, praise God that he's that kind of God. The second challenge is, are you trusting this God to manage your life? You say, well, preacher, that's a whole different ballgame. Now, you're talking two different things here. Now, you're talking about Jesus, and yeah, absolutely, God orchestrated the time and the place and his life, and he was followed. But that's the Son of God and God himself, so that doesn't apply to me. Can I say, whoa, hold on. It does apply to you. It does apply to me. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of Christians that don't trust God. You notice what I said? Christians. They trusted him in salvation, but they don't trust him with the everyday details of their life. And they say, well, I thank you that I'm not going to hell. I thank you that I'm going to heaven. But beyond that, Lord, I got it. I got it. I'm going to choose what I'm going to do today. I'm going to choose who I'm going to talk to. I'm going to choose what I'm going to do with my, I'm going to choose my spouse. I'm going to choose my job. I'm going to choose my house. I'm going to choose my car. I'm going to choose my, you know what? It would only make good sense to me that since we have a God like we have, we ought to be consulting him. And we ought to be saying, I'm forever amazed sometimes when I talk to Christians and they tell me some big decision they've made, and I'm said, did you talk to God about that? I don't think I did. It ought not be that in doubt. It ought to be, when I make a decision, it's going to be based upon God's will. So, if location is so important, let me ask you this question, and I think I'm done. Are you in the right place with God? Are you in the right location with God? Now, you could apply that physically to a sense. You know, am I physically where I'm supposed to be? But I'm applying it more spiritually. You know, if God is a sovereign God and he appointed the exact location, God knows exactly where he wants you to be. And as that sovereign God, I trust him, really. You know, I tell God frequently, and I've told him through the years frequently, Lord, I trust you. You know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do that. Just make it clear enough for an idiot to figure it out, because sometimes I'm a spiritual idiot. I've told God that too. I hope that you're willing to be in whatever place God wants you to be spiritually. I'm glad that God is a God of details. I'm glad that he is a praiseworthy God. And I'm glad that he's got a plan for my life if I only get in tune with his plan. And I know, I look around, I see mainly white hair or no hair. And no offense to white hair. I got some coming right here, and the no hair could come before we know it. And you say, preacher, haven't I gone too, you know, I made some decisions. And yeah, I made them on my own, and I didn't really consult God about it. Isn't it too late to find God's place for me or God's location? I don't think it's ever too late to do the right thing. It's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late to be in the right place with God. So I'd encourage you tonight, if you're not in the right place with God, that could mean that you're backslidden from the Lord. I'd encourage you to get right place with God. Or if you're out of his will in a general basis, you know, I'd encourage you, get back where God wants you to be, because the amazing thing is we serve an amazing God who has an amazing plan for you and for me. So if God's speaking to your heart, we're going to sing here in a moment. If anyone is here tonight, you know, and is in not in the right place as far as being saved, you've never been saved, or you're not sure, I really think in a lot of our churches we have people that do not admit it, but they have real serious doubts in their brain about whether they really meant what they did when they were 8 years old and a bunch of people went forward and the preacher coerced them or perhaps told an emotional story and they stepped out and they're doubting now whether they really meant it. Man, don't live with that doubt. Nail it down. Get rid of it. And make sure that you're truly saved. Jesus came for everybody. He showed that in the way he came, I believe. So call out to him and ask him for forgiveness and salvation. And you can leave tonight saved, knowing you're saved. I wouldn't want to live a moment in doubt about whether I'm saved. So however God is speaking, we're going to sing in just a moment. We're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. I know we sang that Wednesday night. We're going to sing it again. Because we serve such a good God and he's so praiseworthy, we ought to be telling people and praising him on a mountain. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we commit the invitation to you now. We thank you that you are a sovereign God. You're a big God. You're a powerful God. In fact, you're all powerful enough to coordinate at exactly the right time Jesus came and at exactly the right place Jesus came. And we just praise you for that. Lord, if anyone here tonight is so moved for whatever reason, Lord, to come to the altar, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to do so. Those that are saved, that may come and want to be in the right place, the right location with you. Lord, it could be that they think they are, but they just want to come and talk to you about it and say, Lord, I just want to make sure. I just want you to know that I'm willing to be in the right location for you. Or Lord, if anyone here tonight or anyone listening in who's never trusted Jesus, Lord, may they get into that important place called salvation and trust Jesus as their Savior tonight. Lord, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name.